The answer is, he is truly risen. Resurrection. I feel that every one of us pretty much know the biblical stories of the resurrection. I repeated it this morning. They're not stories, they're facts, they're truths. But I would encourage each and every one of us to, this week even, if it's not today, spend time in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, the Gospels. In those, see the just the facts, just the reason why you and I... Do we have public punishment again? No, I'm only kidding. I just want to make sure she was okay. Anyhow, resurrection. It's something that we all know to a degree, but I've been really questioning my heart over the last month or so. How much of the resurrection do we truly believe in? How much does it make a difference in our lives each and every day? Not just once a year, as it comes as a tradition. The resurrection of Jesus Christ. Resurrection, return to life. To be brought from life to death. To be brought to view is a resurrection. To make attention, focus attention on something. And to make useful again. Now, some of us look at that. We can say that with homes, cars. We can restore them. There's so many things that can be resurrected to be used again. But Jesus Christ wants each and every one of us to understand the power of that resurrection. Not just, like I said, not just a tradition, because without the resurrection, Christianity crumbles. It has no meaning whatsoever. Faith. As we look at the resurrection, it's not a denominational or a non-denominational issue. Okay, if that makes sense. It's not something because we go to Calvary Chapel, we believe in it. Because we go to this church, we believe in it. Oh, because we go here, we don't believe in it. It doesn't matter to a degree, if you can take that. What you, people outside, believe, it doesn't make it any more real, and amen. Jesus Christ gave his life for this purpose. Born, we celebrate our Christmas. All through the year, we kind of go our ways. Easter time comes, we celebrate the resurrection, but it is the most important time right now in our lives. But because of it, every single day, you and I, no matter how bad we might have blown it, what faults came in through our lives, what happened to us, what beset us in our lives that seems to be, this is the end, I can't go any further, due to the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you and I can go one more round. We can go one more day. We can step out there if we truly believe in it. So like I said, it's not non-denominational, it's not denominational, it's a fact. And I don't want to sound, I'm still up there from the worship. Pat was saying, I hope you're not going to bring us down today. No, I'm not. But one either believes in the resurrection. And when we say we believe in the resurrection, it's not just the simple, oh yeah, I believe in that. I've heard about that. We believe in the resurrection that Jesus Christ was born, lived a life as fully man. After a very short life, the consummation of his whole earthly life came right to that cross, to that day that we celebrated already. When I say I believe in a resurrection, it didn't end at the cross then. It went from there. He was put in a grave. He was buried. 3 days later, he rose again. It doesn't end there. He's not just a God sitting up on some far plane somewhere that really isn't concerned or looks down. He's alive. Christos anaste. He's alive. He's risen. This isn't an idol. It's not something that we can make. It's not something that we can put on our shelf somewhere that we bought in a good Bible bookstore somewhere. We serve a risen God, a risen Savior. And we have to believe that right now, after the crucifixion, after his burial, after his death, he rose again from that grave. He sits at the right hand of the Father in heaven. Anybody want to go to heaven? Anybody think we're going to heaven? You know, we can be sure today, but he sits at the right hand of the Father making intercession for each and every one of us. Not only that, it doesn't end there either. He's coming back. He's coming back for each and every one of us. If you've got a Bible, I'd ask you, turn to 1 Corinthians. The belief of the resurrection before we go here. I feel that my words aren't that important, so I'm going to try to get through this just to open our minds. But God's word matters. It's what he says. It's not how me or any other pastor puts a real clever little spin on things and brings things out. You and I, each one of us, personally responsible to know what God says, to know what he's offering before we reject it, to know what God has done in Jesus Christ for each and every one of us. And I'd ask you today, don't allow someone else to do your thinking for you about the risen Savior. Well, that's just those really up and down the aisle Christians. No, it's not. There's millions of people today celebrating just like we are, with a belief in the resurrection, a belief to go to heaven. Some people might not be that concerned about heaven, let's say. But if you are, there's one way that we go to heaven. Jesus made that statement, I'm the way. I'm the way, the truth, the life. I'm the resurrection and the life. No man comes to the Father except through the Son. The work that was done and the fact that he was risen from the dead secures you and I in eternity. The denial of that, the rejection of that, just I'll think about that maybe when I get done with this or that, secures our place eternally separated from a loving God. That's as simple as the resurrection really is. And what is that separation? It might not bother. Like some of us before we came into a relationship with the Lord, heaven was like out of the question, wasn't it? But the place where most churches and pastors don't like to talk too much about hell is real. It is real. Christ spoke about it more than I speak about it from this pulpit. And if we deny that resurrection, we have an eternity to spend, yes, but it's an eternity separated from a loving God who wanted nothing but you and I. That was his passion. That was his desire. So again, I want us to hear what God says. And I feel 1 Corinthians 15, if you get home today, you might forget a lot of the things I'm saying. You can open your Bible. Everyone's got one, I'm sure. Open it up to 1 Corinthians 15. Read the whole thing, not just little sniglets. You know, we take a little piece here, a little piece there, what I like, what I don't like. Hear the word of the Lord for the day of resurrection, how important it really is for each and every one of us, how critical this decision today. Why are you here? It's not because you want to celebrate a traditional day at church and fulfill an obligation, no. You're here because I feel the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, some way involved himself into your lives, if he's not living inside of you already. Say, go to church. Go to church. Because I think each and every one of us has an innate desire to reach out to God. We want to touch him. We want to know, is this true or is it not? Listen to this. Written by the Apostle Paul, but given to him by the Holy Spirit of God. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preach to you, which also you received, in which you stand. Some of us think we stand in our intelligence, our place in life, our businesses, or whatever we have. We stand because of Jesus Christ. We stand because of the grace of God, by which also you're saved. It's the only way you can be saved. There's no other name under heaven by which a man or woman can be saved. If you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain, for I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. So important today. The scriptures. Please, I implore each one of us, including myself. We just heard a sermon a few weeks ago about part of this where the religious rulers were told, you err. You're making a mistake. You don't know the scriptures, and you don't know the power of God. I think that's two of the most important things in any of our lives today. What does God have to say about this? Not whoever else. What does God have to say about this? And do I understand? Am I willing to move myself to find out what is this power of God? I'm not talking about, you know, just go like that and something will disappear, or put your hand on somebody and they're miraculously healed. We all know God heals, but not always. I want to know the power of God, that he keeps me standing. How am I doing this? How are you walking through what you're going through today? How are you going to make one more day? How can you even walk out the door after what you've already endured? It's because of what the scripture says. God is saying that to us if our ears are open. Verse 4, and he that was buried, that he rose again on the third day, according to the scriptures, and he was seen by Cephas and the 12, and he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. After that, he was seen by James, then by all the apostles. Then last of all, he was seen by me. I hope today, if you haven't yet, that you see Jesus, that you see him, who he is, how much love he really has for each one of us, the grace that's in there, the mercy that comes with that. That's part of the power, the forgiveness that comes with that. For I am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. Seems like there's a lot of that still going on today, and it's going to get worse and worse. So when you make this decision today, tomorrow, next week, don't make it flippantly. Look into Jesus Christ. Look into these scriptures, because there is a persecution that will be coming either to all the churches that call his name, or to you as you try to stand, as we've heard in these songs, for Jesus Christ. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. Something I think that each one of us can take home. We think we're self-made. We think we've really done it, holding ourselves up. Every one of us that are here today, we are who we are by the grace of God. And his grace toward me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was in me, the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. Therefore, whether it was I or they, so we preach and so you believe. Now, if Christ has preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith is also empty. What are we doing here if he's not raised? Where's the future? Last year, I think Easter, I preached on a wonderful song that we could probably all stand up and sing. Imagine There's No Heaven. It was good music, but it was crummy theology. Imagine that there's no heaven. Well, I'll just speak for myself. Again, I'll say, we've lost our daughter and we lost my brother. If there is no heaven, and there is no resurrection of the dead, I myself, Pat, our family, our children, there's no hope. There's nothing. What are you? Just in the grave, in the ground till you die, and that's the end of life. Struggle on. But it's not that. Amen. Christos Anaste. He's risen. He's risen. Wait a minute, Doug. I'm going to see her again. I'm going to see him again. You're going to see your loved one again. You're going to see that best friend that you lost. You're going to see whoever that was with the belief of the resurrection. Yes, and we are found false witnesses. If anything we say at church, if we don't include the resurrection and where we're all going, why are we preaching? It's empty and your faith is empty. Yes, we are found false witnesses of God because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not, if he did not raise up, in fact, the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You're still in your sins. Where are your sins today? Where are my sins? They're either on me, which will give me that eternity in hell. Let's say where it is, not some other place. Or separation from an eternal God. That's a very nice terminology. But if my sins are on me, the word of God tells me that there's everlasting separation in hell. Not a place where anybody willingly would want to go, I wouldn't think. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished, all of your loved ones and ours. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most pitiable. What's your hope today? The IRA cashing out? Moving to that great place that we all think that you don't have to shovel sunshine? What a shovel, hey, Danny? Just no scoop on it. Danny's dug a few pounds of snow over the years. Why? I mean, if in this life only, there's something else. But it's up to each one of us to find that. Christ is already, he's with us. He's here. He's just saying, I love you. I love you. Come to me. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. And since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, first man, even so in Christ shall all be made alive, but each one in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward those who are Christ at his coming. Then comes the end. See, the end is coming. When's it coming? Soon. That's a good, most people, I don't, for my life, I don't know. For your life, you don't know. None of us, I've embarrassed Doc, Mike, a number of times. Would you give me a piece of paper that guarantees that I'm going to live for 10 more years? He won't do it. He's a great doctor, but he won't do that. When's the end? He is going to return for his church, for his loved ones. Some of us might pass prior to that. Some of us might be here when that happens. I pray everyone in here will be in that number. Then comes the end when he delivers the kingdom to God, the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and authority and power. For he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death. For he has put all things under his feet. But when he says all things are put under him, it is evident that he who put all things under him is accepted. Now when all things are made subject to him, then the Son himself will also be subject to him who put all things under him, that God may be all in all. Otherwise, what will they do who are baptized for the dead? If the dead do not rise at all, why then are they baptized for the dead? And why do we stand in jeopardy every hour? I affirm by the boasting in you, which I have in Christ Jesus, our Lord, I die daily. If in the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantage is it to me if the dead do not rise? Let us eat, drink, and tomorrow, for we die. That's what it boils down to without the resurrection. Don't be deceived. I'm in verse 33, if you're following along. This possibly could be one of the biggest chunks of scripture we've ever read in quite a while, maybe. Yeah. Don't be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. We used to teach that to our children, remember? Awake to righteousness. Do not sin. For some do not have the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Why does anybody that has Christ living in them, that believes in the resurrection, that believes in the time that is coming, why do we keep silent? Why do we keep silent? This is to my shame. But someone will say, how are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come? Foolish one, what you sow is not made alive unless it dies. And what you sow, this is a beautiful example of things that we do not up here. I grow radishes. That's all I can plant up where I live, and they grow a little bit. But we know about planting, and those seeds, they seem dead. You plant them, they become alive. He's telling us, foolish one, what you sow, you do not sow that the body that shall be, but more grain, perhaps wheat or some other grain, but God gives it a body as he pleases, and to each seed its own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of animals, another of fish, and another of birds. There are celestial bodies and terrestrial, heavenly, earthly. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, and that moon, just as most of us know probably, it reflects the glory or the brightness of the sun, and I hope after this that we can reflect his glory. We have no light of our own without Jesus Christ. The light of the world came into the world, but men love darkness. He's the light. It's sown a natural body, it's raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there's a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. Verse 46, however, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, and afterwards the spiritual. The first man was of the earth, made of dust, and second man is the Lord from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust. And as it is the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the man of dust, that's who we are today, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit corruption. It doesn't matter how good, how bad technically we are. It's not just this flesh and blood. This is not going there or there without passing through the Lord's hand first. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, death, where's your sting? We fear death. There are multitudes walking out there today, ones in our own circles, who fear death because it's an unknown. We don't know where we're going. We don't know what's going to happen. We're reading it right here in one simple chapter of 1 Corinthians 15 that I'll implore you again, please read when we go home today. Death, where's your sting? Okay, so I die, is what he's saying. But I go immediately into the presence of an almighty loving Savior, in which my mother, my father, my daughter, my brother, they're all there. What? Where's the sting? What's so bad about that? Don't ever dread the fact that one day we're going to pass. Let's just make our mark while we're still here. Oh, Hades, where's your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor in the Lord is not in vain.
Amen.
So what must I do? If you're not saved today, what must I do to be saved? Go beyond John 3:16, because Romans 10, verse 9 and 10, Jesus was asked that same question, and the answer was, believe on the Son of God, and that God raised him from the dead. You mean I don't have to quit this, 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 and this? No, not right away, but you'll notice it'll affect you. All we got to do is believe. Jesus is the Son of God. And he was raised from the dead, living, sitting at the right hand of the Father. Sometimes we like to know as humans, what's the benefit for me in this? Because of this, because of those scriptures, because of what we've heard, there is forgiveness available today to anyone for our past failures, past faults, whatever it might have been, but hope and forgiveness from that past. There's hope and forgiveness from the fears that this present brings us today. And the greatest hope is that we are going to spend eternity with a loving God and those that love us and we love them for eternity. That's the simplicity of the resurrection that I can give that fast. God says, my word will not return void. It's going to come back to him, just like he sent it. As much as I try, don't you always feel you have to say something about something? Just read those words today in 1 Corinthians 15. Go to John 3:16. Then ask myself, do I believe this? Do I believe it? And watch what the power of the resurrection can do in our lives. The hope that it can bring. The future that it'll bring. And just maybe we can pass it on to one more person before we go. Pay it forward. He did all the work. All we have to do is talk. So God loves us. I just say have a blessed resurrection day. And consider the Lord Jesus. Amen. Let's stand and worship. What do you think?